Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Quite concerned about the response from my Republican colleagues, and I say colleagues more than one, about even apologizing to BP because of this settlement, which would help people. Well, people in the Gulf are suffering.
All right, let's turn this off. You heard me play American Woman. Look how we've gone from ravioli to bologna in one generation. Play Devil or Angel.
Can't make up my mind which one you are. I'd like to wake up and ride. Devil or angel, dear, whichever you are, I miss you. I miss you.
From ravioli to bologna in one generation. I happen to agree with Congressman Barton. I believe it is a hijacking. As I said to you yesterday on the Savage Nation, there's no question that there's a responsibility, even though it was an accident in part from the from BP and the actual driller, which is Halliburton. But I'd like to see hearings which grill the Obama administration, particularly the Coast Guard, which is perhaps the most scandalously mismanaged unit of the American government today. And I don't know how you didn't see this. Well, I do know how you didn't see this. It's because the mainstream media has become a tool of the government. It has been for a long time. Governor Jindal of Louisiana figured out a way to get some, not all of the oil, out of the Gulf before it hit the shores, and they brought out 16 barges. They were pumping the oil out of the water into the barges, and then they were transferring the oil from the barges into steel drums. When Obama's Coast Guard goons came up and said, stop your pumping of this oil, we don't see your life preservers. We don't see your permits. This is a tactic, frankly, that organized crime has used to stop work on construction projects where they want to hold up a construction job. All you got to do is watch movies to understand what's going on here. Now, you say, you know, that's far afield. You have any proof? No, there's no proof. It's called common sense and logic. Let me explain what I think is going on here. Americans are bewildered. They say, how could Obama and his minions be so incompetent as to have allowed this to go on for so long? What you don't understand is they've let it go on so long because they want it to spread. Now you say, well, that's a wild, wild guess. How can you prove that? Can't prove it. I'm surmising that the administration is so corrupt that the more oil that causes more damage causes more money they can steal from BP and Halliburton, and the more money they can give to Feinberg to disperse to his cronies. How much of that $20 billion do you think is going to wind up in the hands of the Gulf shrimpers? You have any idea? About the same amount that wound up in the hands of the Agent Orange settlement, the Holocaust settlement, any other previous settlement that old Feinberg was involved in. Do you think that the people received the money? Or do you think the lawyers got most of the money? That's number one. But let me go back to my allegations. These are wild allegations. I'm aware of that. But I'm going to continue down this road. It's a proposal. Because I know something's wrong with this picture. We have evidence, hard evidence, that several nations offered submarines, mini deep water submarines that could have gone down, and Obama rejected it right in the beginning. We know that for a fact. We know that Obama blocked the construction of sand berms from the beginning. We know that Obama stopped the barges from sucking the oil out of the Gulf, saying you didn't have permits and you didn't have life preservers. Why would they do this? I will tell you my theory. My theory is that they do not want any local companies doing this job for nothing. They do not want the cleanup done by good do-gooders who don't get paid. They want to bring in their own cleanup crews from around America who will get the giant share, the lion's share of the cleanup money. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Haven't you watched enough movies to understand how this works? Why is it that you people who are so brilliant when it comes to movies and movie writings, and you know everything about Hollywood, you're all Cecil B. DeMille and Woody Allen and Larry David round up in one. But when it comes to reality, you can't connect reality with the movies that you produce or the movies that you love so much. Make believe this was a movie. And make believe you weren't so in love with the Democrats and Obama. And make believe we had a corrupt administration from Chicago that cared not a whit about America nor about the Gulf, cared only about stealing as much money as they could, as fast as they could. It's only a theory, only a movie. How would they do it? They'd block every cleanup effort that was not controlled by them. They would use every pretext in the sun, such as where is your permit for the barges? I don't see your life preservers. I want you to show me where the barges were built. Okay, that's number three. And so you have to ask yourself, how much more can the American people take until they finally revolt when they realize that they've been taken over fundamentally by a gang? This is no different than if a gang took over America, and people are saying it. I know people who voted for this guy who was saying something's wrong with this picture. They say he's weak, and they say he's indecisive. I don't believe that at all. I don't think he's weak or indecisive at all, by the way. I think he's quite strong and quite decisive. And I think that this is a purposeful, deliberate attempt to slow down the cleanup, to see as much damage as possible, in order to break the oil companies, to show that oil is dirty and turn America against oil. That's number one. And to make as much money as they can on the cleanup through their own cleanup companies. As you know, they specialize in these kinds of things. Road building, hazardous materials, cleanup. That's a specialty of certain divisions of the Democrat Party, as you well know. Oh, they're real experts in that. It's a horrible thing to witness this. What's even more horrible is to see how the media is in cahoots with the Obama administration, where what is staring all of us in the face, they won't even report on. So they report on the Lakers game. You hear the Lakers game in Los Angeles. Well, you want to talk about the Lakers game? Let's talk about the gangbangers who rioted, the hood rats in L.A. who rioted last night after the Lakers game. Most of whom, by the way, were illegal aliens with tattoos and the wife beater undershirts. They did not even go to the game. They went there just to riot because they could. Because they like to burn, they like to break, and they like to kill. Those are the people those are the natural people for the Democrat Party. You hear? That's what they're worried about. You hear? The ones who ride in the streets of L.A. are Nancy Pelosi's natural constituency. Not the people of Arizona's had enough of these bastards. No. Their voters are the ones in the street with the wife beater shirts and the tattoos who rioted in L.A. last night. That's what they're worried about. The whole country's upside down. I know a few people who I talk to fairly regularly, and just once in a while, everyone's upset. Everybody I know, and some of them voted for Obama, are sick. People are sick. They're frightened. They don't know what's coming next. They feel as though the country is out of control. Everything is upside down. And they're physically breaking down, and they're mentally breaking down. This administration has produced a turmoil in the American people unseen since, I don't know what. What should I say? Since World War II? I've never seen anything like this. Shall I go back to the Civil War? I almost feel as though Obama's trying to create a civil war in America for his own reasons. This is the most divisive, destructive president in American history in the minds of millions of thoughtful, intelligent human beings who have seen what this man is doing. Now, as you know, I've had laryngitis this week. And I'm only back a day, really, and my voice broke yesterday, so I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to let you do the show today on Rock and Roll Friday. I have a Woodchuck Bill update, however. Those of you who were fortunate enough to listen to the Savage Nation yesterday heard me replay my Woodchuck Bill story, one of my favorites from childhood from my book Psychological Nudity. And I have an update. A cousin of mine wrote and said, he was actually there. He knew him. He was 2 years younger than me. He said, do you remember this story about Woodchuck Bill? I said, no. He said, you remember we once caught an eel in the river? You know, I was up in a country, and we used to go fishing and this and that. we caught an eel and we were going to throw it back. And he said, no, don't throw the eel back. That's meat on the table. He ate everything that the woods offered him. And he also told us as little kids, and I didn't know this, that he descended from a Hessian soldier, who had fought with Britain against the United States in the Revolutionary War. So he, you know, imagine that. Could you imagine he knew that he descended from a Hessian soldier, a German, who had come over to fight with the British against George Washington's army in the Revolutionary War. And here he was 10 generations later, living off the land with his wife in the woods of the Catskill Mountains. And I asked myself, I wonder how many of these Hessian descendants are in the Obama administration today. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had
from ravioli to bologna in one generation. It's unbelievable to me how the world has changed from the time I was a kid. You know, in my day, we knew that there were corrupt politicians. How many of them? Who knows? But there was a firewall between corruption and, the word I'm going to use is a very powerful word, there was a firewall between corruption and treason. There is no firewall anymore. It ended during the Clinton administration when the head of the DNC sold rocket technology to China and got away with it. And once they saw that he could get away with that, everything broke. The dams broke. There was no longer any loyalty to the United States of America, because the normal fear that they had that they'd be caught by the FBI and sent to Fort Leavenworth evaporated. They realized they could sell anything to anyone, and even if they got caught, they could get a Feinberg to get them out of it. You want me to mince my words? You got the wrong customer here. You want me to start talking real nice, and you want me to start talking like you do at the school meetings? You got the wrong show for that. We're too late for that in America. Look how far we have fallen. I am telling you that millions of very intelligent, knowledgeable people understand that we have the equivalent of a criminal gang running the United States of America. They can't believe it's going on right in front of their eyes, and they don't understand how they can get away with it day in and day out. They say, well, where's the FBI? The answer is, who's the FBI report? Do you think the FBI is now an independent agency? How long has it been since the FBI was really an independent agency? It didn't happen under Obama. How long has it been since any of those agencies were really functioning as independent agencies instead of an addendum to the executive office? We have a dictatorship of the executive office in America today. It did not start under Obama, but it's liable to end under Obama. There is too much power in the hands of one man. As I said yesterday, how could you have a president? You know, I thought it was probably the best thing I said all week, which was this. It's the system now. Now I'm talking in generic terms about the system. How do we have a winner-take-all system, number one? But number two, how do you afford so much power in the hands of one individual? No man on earth is capable of being, A, the smartest businessman in the world. So let's start with that. Chief executive. To me, a president should be somebody who either built the business on his or her own, without robbing it from anyone, and that would exclude lawyers, number one, built a business, nurtured it, built it, cultivated it, made a fortune honestly. Then you would say, well, this person has business experience. That's what a CEO should be, and that's what we need as a chief executive. The next step is to say, well, how could this executive know how to run a military unless he's been in the military and achieved some great awards as a military man? He can't. So the concept that a president should have the power to be the smartest businessman on earth and the bravest soldier that ever lived, how is that possible? We're asking too much of one man. Why do you assume that Obama knows so much about everything? That he can run a military and he can run businesses, he can run the education department, he knows everything. Why do you assume that one man can know this all? How do you assume that? And therefore, since you must assume he cannot do it all, you must assume logically that he's failing in some areas because he selected people who are incapable of doing it as well. Witness the Gulf. Look at the morons he's put in charge there. Let's say that you don't believe that there's corruption. So what is it then, incompetence? How else would you explain that nothing's been done for 50 days other than tax BP with a $20 billion slush fund, a little holdup job? Al Capone would be smiling from hell right now, saying, my God, look, I did it the wrong way. Al Capone would say, my God, did I have it wrong. If only I had called myself Al Capone, environmentalist. He would have said I could have been bigger than Al Corleone by today. If I only set up shop, not as a guy who broke legs and murdered and bombed bars and ran gambling and prostitution. If only I had set up as an environmentalist and offered green jobs. Al Capone, environmentalist. Think of how far I could have come. But what can I tell you? Hartford, Connecticut, Jr. on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for coming to work the last few days, Dr. Savage. It's an honor.
I have. What am I going to do, stay at home with the dog and talk to him? He doesn't answer anyway.
50s values. That's exactly the way I was brought up.
It's an interesting thing is I had to go to work. The doctor said don't. People said don't. You're going to damage your voice. You know what I said? It's not in me to just lay in bed. I can't do it.
Those are your ethics. That's the way you were raised. That's the way you were.
I'm raised to be a workhorse. I'm a workhorse. That's all. That's the way I'm made. I'm not a racehorse. I'm a workhorse.
I was interested in why Admiral Thallon, being the highest paid person in the Coast Guard, would choose to retire when it came on his watch, this oil spill, and then take a position with the government as the incident commander. I'd like to know how much he's getting paid.
And what do I know?
How come?
When I heard the name Thad Allen, I saw him up there. I didn't hear it right away, and I know it was in New Orleans. I thought that his name was Fat Allen, sort of like a New Orleans musician name.
I'm curious how come all the state governors that are Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and Louisiana didn't say anybody within 25 miles of the coast that's on unemployment and physically fit, get to the coast, you're going to be employed by BP, instead of bringing in the National Guard and Coast Guard people from other areas where they have other missions. The National Guard's mission has nothing to do with being
You think that the deadbeats on welfare want to go get their hands dirty when they get stay at home and smoke and drink? And fornicate? Why would they leave their nests when the government's sending them a nice check?
Yeah, well, if somebody was fitting...
They're laying on their behinds. They got they haven't worked most of their lives down there.
Check or
what
no
are you talking about? It's a welfare state. They think they're entitled to a government check after Katrina.
Savage.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Welcome to the Hotel California on the Savage Nation, the late, great Golden State. Look how this state alone, you know, when I moved out here, I moved out here in 1974. It was a paradise. Everything was, I don't know, like a Technicolor Disney movie. It wasn't anything that was wrong about Northern California. I just loved it. And I moved there primarily because the schools were free. The public schools were great. And I never forget when my first child went off to the first grade in a little yellow school bus provided by the state. It was beautiful. I felt good in my heart. I was a poor, graduate student trying to make a living. But I managed to scrape together every penny I saved in my life. I bought a little house. I had worked three jobs. Went to school. I just felt good about the future. I knew that both of my children, and I distinctly remembered, I said to myself, I'm not a rich man. I'm never going to be a rich man. Likely never a rich man. But that was okay. I never set out to be a rich man. We'll be able to go as far in school as they wish, based upon their own abilities and desires, because California had the fantastic educational system from education starting from the grade school. Then you had the Cal State system, which was one rung below the university system. And then I said there were graduate schools that were great here. Medical schools, dental schools, law schools, engineering schools, whatever they wanted to do would be up to them. I never felt I was going to lead them, push them every step of the way. It's not the way I live. I wasn't raised that way. My father had a sink or swim philosophy, and although I was not quite as old worldish about it as he was, I really, in some ways, said it's up to them how far they want to go. The state was beautiful. The roads were paved. The streets were clean. And then slowly but surely, the liberal cancer started to infect the state. Governor Jerry Brown with his crazy ideas. And one after the other, they kept shoveling money at dead social programs. They started taxing business out of the state. They started to raise state income taxes, driving many productive citizens out of the state. They wouldn't crack down on the illegal aliens, even though people knew that they were bankrupting the schools and bankrupting the hospitals. And look where we are today. When you don't stop a cancer, the cancer spreads. It doesn't go away. Take a look where we've come today, where you have the administrators of the state and of the nation who cater to the cancer rather than to the healthy patient. What if you went to an oncologist and you said, "Doctor, I've been told that I have a cancer, but it can still be stopped. What are you going to do to stop the cancer?" And a doctor studies your illness and he says, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed the cancer. I'm not going to try to save the healthy cells. I'm going to feed the cancer and see if I can make the cancer worse." You'd say, well, the doctor is either insane or a criminal. In either case, he should have his medical license pulled. Your politicians are like oncologists who are treating not the cancer, but they're trying to make the cancer get bigger. Instead of saying the healthy cells know what they're doing and we're going to help them, we're going to stop the invasion of the cancer, they're taking the side of the cancer. Witness Hillary Clinton saying, "The cancer of illegal immigration, we love it. We're now going to sue the state's healthy citizens. They have no right to defend themselves against the cancer of invasion." It's the same in Arizona. It's the same in California. It's the same in Illinois. It's the same in New York. It's the same in Florida. But the politicians are all feeding the cancer, for example. You got it? You got an oil spill you want to talk about? Tell me what the government has done right so far with the oil spill. Answer nothing. Answer nothing. They've stopped the good people of Louisiana from doing their own cleanup efforts. Again, you don't want to believe me because it didn't make it to your local rag owned by the government. The government media complex won't report about the 16 barges that were doing fine. 16 barges. Governor of Louisiana got fed up with Obama's inexperience and activity, whatever. He ordered specially designed barges to start vacuuming oil out of the water, pumping it into barrels. But as I told you yesterday, Obama shut down the barges. He sent out the Coast Guard goons to demand, "Where were your life preservers?" he said to the workers on the barges. "Where are your permits with your life preservers? And who built the barges? We want to see the construction permit that you built, who built the barges to make sure that they cleared OSHA regulations." You hear this? So Obama's Coast Guard shut down the barges. Wanted to make sure that there were life vests and fire extinguishers aboard. If this is not insanity, I'd like to know what is. And if you as a liberal can support this, then you're a sick person. You're sicker than even your doctor believed. You are sicker than even your therapist says you are. You're sicker than even your ex-wife knows you are. And you're much sicker than your children have come to understand you are, if you actually can support this behavior. You're sicker than Larry David, I'll tell you that right now. If this were Pearl Harbor and we were being attacked by the Japanese, Obama would probably make the anti-aircraft gunners stop firing while I checked to see the lead content of the bullets, or if they had the right size helmet on, and if it had passed the OSHA safety standards. Governor Jindal couldn't believe what's going on, but it didn't make it to your newspaper, right? Your newspaper's become a newspaper. What was once a newspaper has become a newspaper. All it is about ads for salaciousness, that's all. And they want to be bailed out from newspapers to newspapers in two generations. Add that to the new book. What would you like to talk about? Because I said it has to be your show. I'm enjoying the music so far. What music can I play right now? You have another Italian favorite? Not Dean Martin. It's enough. It's old-fashioned. They don't like that. Any Italian move? Perry Como? He's too old. Bail me out here, Phil. I mean, do something with a little music. Try it at least. I'm groping here.
Volare.
And volare. Okay.
Oh, oh.
Memories, memories, memories. I love Gantare. I love that part of the... How you speak Italian like that. What dialect is that? Neapolitan? Napolitano? Janet Napolitano? She's a Napolitano. She's a Napoli Don. She's a Napoli Donna, excuse me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult her. She's a Napoli Donna, not a Napoli Don. Janet Napolitano's a Napoli Donna. There's nothing wrong with that. Gantare, isn't that Neapolitan? Neapolitano. The organ I could do without reminds me of ice skating. Ice skating music always depresses me. Look how things trigger things in your head. I don't like the organ. I know it's a very tough instrument to play. Phantom of the Opera and all of that. The most difficult of all the keyboards is an organ. But it reminds me of ice skating in Flushing Meadow Park at night with my uncle when I hated school. So it's always bad. It's like remembrances of things past. When I hear an organ, I get depressed. Funerals. I'm sorry. Funerals, too. Whenever you're an organ, it's a funeral. Why? It's just an associational thing. I'm trying to change the subject. I can't take it anymore. Let's play Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal fuming as the red tape halts the cleanup on the barges in clip two.
I got on the White House phone call yesterday morning at 8:30, talked to the White House, talked to the Admiral, saying we need to do everything we can to get these barges back deployed, back out there, taking the soil out of the water. So what is frustrating is that you've got men working on these barges that live here in Louisiana, that have gone fishing out in Barataria Bay for years. And literally for the last 24 hours, eight barges were deployed. They literally watched that oil instead of being able to pick it up. They had the equipment to pick it up, and they weren't allowed to do so.
Can you believe what Obama has done? Can you believe what he's done? Now, this is from a man on the ground. The governor of Louisiana is outraged. This is one of the greatest scandals in American history. It beats Boss Tweed. This would require a full-scale international investigation. We cannot get a fair investigation in America anymore because of the corruption of the Democrat Party. I would think that we almost need, and you're not going to believe what I'm about to say, we need an international committee to come in and investigate the Obama administration. That's correct. We need an international body to come in, an international environmental body. You never thought I'd say that? We need an international environmental body to come and investigate the Gulf oil spill and see what, if any, incompetence or collusion there has been in the Obama administration to block the cleanup efforts of the state of Louisiana. Only an international group can do this, because there's no chance in hell that an honest investigation can be conducted by Senator Dodd, for example, who just gave an Indian gambling casino, what was it, $52 million? Did you hear that one, all you schmucks who voted for the Democrats? You corrupt. Senator Chris Dodd took money out of the stimulus funds and gave $52 million of it to an Indian gambling casino, the Mohicans up in Connecticut. And you say, oh, that's fine. No corruption. It's not pork barrel. It's beyond, as I said, if Al Capone could be brought back from the crypt, I believe there's a crypt of his in Chicago, and they could resuscitate him, he'd say, what? You could take $52 million out of the kitty and you can give it to your friends? How do you do that? Well, you see, we don't throw stones through bars anymore, Al. We don't use brass knuckles. We don't use 32 shorts. We don't beat anyone up anymore, Al. You don't? How do you make $52 million? You call yourself environmentalist, Al. You would have made 10 times more money, Al, if you put environmental on the back of your office in gold letters. Al Capone, environmentalist. Take a look at what Al Corleone made. He made over $1 billion, half of which went to his ex-wife, who, who knows what she took, Tipper. Find out next to she's been, you know, look at his taste in women is about as good as his taste in reading material. We never touched on that scandal that broke this week. Look who he chose to run around with, my God. With his money, you'd think he could have done better in Hollywood. I was wondering why he... See, here's the thing that didn't... Remember when it came out, the scandal of the Gores were breaking up and they put out the bullcrap that they loved each other? Shortly after they had bought a big house in Montecito, which is near San Diego? It made no sense. Of course it makes sense now. It's near his old lady, you know, the new old lady. But his taste in look who he runs around with, like a retread from Larry David. I mean, you got that kind of money. All he's got to do is go to any restaurant in Los Angeles with a couple of friends. You know what he could have there? Certainly not someone as crazy as this. Let's start with that, the hysteria of the environmentalism. But then the two of them, okay, you could just imagine what goes on in that living room at night about the environment. None of them, by the way, I can guarantee you neither of them, Al Gore nor the new old lady, they're great environmentalists. Ask them when they last hiked a mountain, sailed a boat, went hiking, went swimming, went hunting in the wilderness. Answer, never. But ask them what they know about the environment, everything. 1-800-449-8255-michaelsavage.com. And now we have callers. Donna in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, you're absolutely right. Obama is totally aggressive in his plans. He is decisive, and what he is brazen and fearless. We are the ones that are fearful, and we have to look in within ourselves and say, what is wrong with this picture, and what are we going to do about this? It's almost as if the only people we can count on to straighten this out are organized crime, because they would know how to deal with this man.
Well, now you're making a big mistake, because I think you've got them on the wrong side of the picture here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's not go down that road. But the fact of the matter is, he is brazen. He is calculating. He knows what he's doing. The governor of Louisiana is pretty much screaming out that they stopped him from cleaning up some of the mess. How do you explain that?
Because they're in total control of everything, the media, everything. Everything is, we are as vulnerable, and I know this is not an abortion issue, we are as vulnerable as the unborn. We are sitting ducks, and it's just going to get worse and worse.
Absolutely. And we have a 10 million person march on Washington. I think we're going to lose our freedoms within 2 years. If God forbid, come November, they do not lose between 50 and 80 seats, this man will take away every vestige of freedom left in this country. And believe me, I don't hold out great hope if Republicans win. I'm not one of those tin horns who wrap himself in the Republican flag. But the fact of the matter is, unless 50 to 80 of these corrupt gangsters are not thrown out of office, the Democrats now, Obama will dig his heels in and his gang will get even more brazen. That's my opinion. And we have to make certain that we turn out in droves in November. We back the Tea Parties wherever they appear, and we throw the Democrats out. If they lose 50 to 80 seats, we have a chance of saving our democracy. Now, Donna, you live in New York City or in the area?
Excuse me?
Where in New York do you live? What part of it?
I'm at the Jersey Shore, Manasquan. I spoke to you years ago.
Jersey Shore. So you know the people from the movie Jersey Shore, the TV show? They're your friends?
I don't really watch. I listen to talk radio.
I'm joking. How do low-life Guidos and Guidettes like that wind up with any kind of show? How's that possible?
it's lowering the cultural whatever.
How does a society look up to the lowest of the low like this as role models? How do they not look up to someone who invented something or cured something or built something? Why would they look at low-life, you know, scungilis like this? Why?
It has all been deliberately done so that we have no common sense, we have no standards.
A low-life scungili who went to a gym and greased his hair up is a role model now?
I don't watch the show. I listen to talk radio.
I understand, but everywhere you turn, Jersey Shore this, Jersey Shore that. You know, ugly broads with beehive hairdos. It's a mockery of a civilization.
Well, I think you're
right. What's the point of talking about it? I don't know if it's deliberate or the people are that stupid. Who knows? But now, you know, we get the presidents that we deserve. I'll be right back.
Savage.
That's all. Give me ravioli music, something. Ravioli to Bologna in One Generation. Here's a sad story. It just came out minutes ago. I mean, I'm not gloating over this. But Ted Koppel's son, they did an autopsy. He died from a tremendous overdose of booze, heroin, coke, and Valium, just revealed by the medical examiners in New York. His son, Drew, age 40, found dead on Memorial Day in a seedy Upper Manhattan apartment. We had been taken by an acquaintance after a 12-hour binge of drinking whiskey in Hell's Kitchen. The medical examiner's office ruled today that Ted Koppel's son was killed by, quote, acute intoxication due to the combined effects of ethanol, that's alcohol, heroin, cocaine, diazepam, and levamisole, a substance often used to dilute cocaine prior to sale. Koppel was a lawyer who had a 2-year-old daughter, Alice, with his longtime partner. No one has a wife anymore. Everyone's Gabby Hayes. They all have a chuck wagon. They're all, what kind of man has a child without a wife? What do you do to a child like that? Didn't you know that you had to get married when you had a child? Where did this come up that you could raise a child without you marrying the woman? When did this suddenly become okay? These bums don't even have the nerve to marry the woman anymore. You know, the toughest thing in the world is to marry and raise children. That happens to be the toughest road to hoe in the world, which is why most of the men won't do it. That's why the country's ruined. I don't know how this happened to a country. I have some idea of it, but I won't say it. Friends say Coppola's dad was 10 years the host of ABC News on 9/11, has many sons. A writer named Russell Wimberly, age 32, told reporters that he met Koppel in a Hell's Kitchen saloon and began drinking with him throughout the day, wandering from watering hole to watering hole. As they walked to various bars, Koppel, who previously worked as a lawyer for the City Housing Authority and Legal Aid, drank from a bottle of whiskey he was carrying, took him to his apartment to sleep it off, blah, blah, blah. They checked him, and the poor guy was dead. What are you going to say about that? What are you going to do? Blame somebody for that? You know, one child who turns out like that, God forbid, another one another way. You're going to blame the parents? You can't do it. You can't do it. How about stealing the goal at the World Cup? I'm not interested in it, but we got stolen. You didn't hear about that one? They screwed us over there in South Africa. Did you hear about this? Morris Adu on our team kicked the ball into the net just before the 86th minute. American players jumped around wildly thinking they had capped historic comeback. But instead, the bum judge stole it from the American team and said, no, it didn't count. Terrible story. Bronx not-for-profit director gets 10 months for stealing 54th out. A crooked not-for-profit director broke down weeping and wailing as she was slapped with a 10-month sentence today for embezzling $54,000 in a scheme with links to mother and daughter Democratic polls from the Bronx. That's such small potatoes. I mean, she got caught stealing $54,000. Senator Dodd gives $54 million to an Indian gambling casino of stimulus money, and he says it's perfectly legal. You understand how this works or not? If you're even poorer, you get arrested for stealing $54. If you're even poorer, you go to jail for stealing $5. You go for 20 years. Let's say you steal $5 and no one knows you. That's a 3 to 5. Let's say you get caught stealing $54. That could be a 5 to 10. Let's say you get caught in $5,400. You get a 10 to 20. You get caught stealing $54,000 like this Bronx politician. She got 10 months. Then you get caught stealing $54 million and giving it to an Indian gambling casino. You get the Nobel Prize. And you go to work for the UN because they realize there's someone that they can work with. They figure anyone who could steal $54 million from the taxpayers and not go to jail is their kind of guy. So I expect that Senator Dodd will be offered a position with the World Wildlife Federation very shortly or some other unit of the United Nations. I would think Al Gore should be looking for his work after this. I mean, this is a perfect match.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Quite concerned about the response from my Republican colleagues, and I say colleagues more than one, about even apologizing to BP.
All right, knock it off, will you? Look how we've gone from ravioli to bologna in one generation. It's disgusting. It really is. Everybody sing. Hey, Gumba, way Gumba. From ravioli to bologna in one generation. Here's the second stanza.
La luna mezza mare,
marinare.
Figlia mia, mamma mia, pensa
tu.
Se te piglia lo pulizia, isso vai, isso vena, sembra scuffetta manatena.
I love this language, it's a beautiful language. Just a beautiful language. How are you going to order shrimp scampi after the Gulf spill? It's going to be off the menus. No more shrimp of this, shrimp of that. The big part of the menu, I turn it off. Think all of the Italian menus are going to have to be changed in America. No more shrimp scampi, no more shrimp this. The shrimp is gone. That's why I was playing Lazy Mary, You Better Get Up. She answered back, I am not able. Lazy Mary, you better get up. We need the sheets for the table. Lazy Mary, you smoke in bed. There's only one man you should marry. My advice to you would be is to pay attention to me. You better marry a fireman. He'll come and go and go and come. Play it again. I think the people want to hear music instead of Obama and Pelosi. I mean, what are you going to do? You don't want to hear it. I turn it off. They don't want to hear it. They heard it already. I already played this for all it's worth. Well, you want to hear it or not? You want to hear it. All right, one more time. Some do and some don't. One more shot. He says marinara should be maritara. What's he singing about, shrimp, or is he singing about a sheet on a bed here? What's he singing about?
Second stanza.
Hop along, Casadice. Turn it off already. I remember when I was a little kid, some of the Italian guys in my father's neighborhood, they knew I used to like cowboy outfits, and I used to always have the two cap guns. They'd come up to me, and the Italian guys would look with a big smile. They love children. All these guys love children as opposed to today where they molest children. You know, you could trust the men to take care of a child. If anyone looked at them wrong, they'd cut their throat. They'd come up to me, and they'd say, hey, a little hop along, Casadice. I didn't know what they were talking about. It was so funny. What fun we had. But it's a different world. You knew you were protected in the neighborhood. It didn't matter what race or religion, the men were all the same. They were protective of children. Look what we have today. Take a look. They knock a girl up, they won't even get married. They won't even marry a woman with a child. They have no shame. They don't care raising. You know, there was a word for a child that you had out of wedlock called a bastard. Do I have to spell? Father won't even marry the woman. The boy won't even marry the girl. He doesn't have the spine to marry his partner, like Abby Hayes. They live together with a chuck wagon like Woodchuck Bill. I guarantee even Woodchuck Bill married Mary over there in the woods. Even he had the Hessian soldier's descendant. Even he had the self-respect to marry her in the woods. They were married. They were betrothed. It was unheard of to live together like what? What are you living like? A dog with a girl, a dog, a boy and a girl dog? What happened to the country that no one even talks about it like this anymore? I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm talking to myself. All right, let's take the call. So the Coast Guard stopped Louisiana from cleaning up the spill, asked for a life preserver and a fire extinguisher, made him stop cleaning up the spill. You hear? I mean, I've had the Coast Guard moron stop me on the bay. I can't believe these guys. 40 cal, you want me to tell you little Coast Guard stories? Don't. What am I supposed to do, love everyone in uniform? What are you people, that's stupid? That's like saying a president is all-knowing. He can do everything right. There's no president on earth who knows everything. You know, the Coast Guard basically harasses boaters. And don't get me wrong. I mean, they do phenomenal work. These guys in helicopters when dropping down and picking up people in the water. I never saw anything like that bravery. But on the weekends, you should see what some of these guys do. I'm out on the boat a couple of years ago with my dog in the middle of a choppy strait called the Raccoon Straits. These four guys, they pull up. They board my boat with 40 caliber guns. Oh, we want to see your safety equipment. Meanwhile, my boat is bucking. The dog is barking. He's a 10-pound dog. The guy says to me, can you control your dog? I said, the boat is bucking, and you're asking me to control a 10-pound dog, and you got a 40 caliber gun in your hand? What's wrong with you? If you were a 10-pound dog, wouldn't you bark at you too? He says to me, do you have any weapons aboard? I said, I do. Oh, I almost called for backup with a helicopter. So I said, you know, you don't know much about the water. You're asking me to show your papers while the boat is bucking around. Why don't you ask me to pull over to a quiet area? Oh, I will do that. These 18-year-old pimple-faced morons, they get out of Bolinas, California. They don't know what the hell they're doing, half of them. So now you find out that they send the Coast Guard out to the barges in Louisiana who are cleaning up the oil spill. Oh, where's your life preserver? Do you happen to have a permit? Can we see your fire extinguisher and your life jacket? All right, you say, now let me see them where you built the barge. Was it built in one of our the designated builderies and the shipyards? All right, shut it down. We don't want you to clean it out right now because we can't make anything. What a bunch of bums. The whole thing is corrupt and upside, either corrupt or incompetent or a combo. It's either corrupt and incompetent or a combo deal. You know, take one from column A and one from column B, and what you have is column O. That's all. Houston, AJ, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Big Savage, glad you're back, baby. Hey, as a black man, Savage, I am sick and
just
tired.
One man AJ, I'm just one man screaming in the wilderness. No one listens to me.
My dad, man. You like my dad, brother. I love you, bro. Hey, but Savage, I'm letting you know right now, as a black man, I am furious of what this man has done to this country in a year and a half. It took us this long to get to this point, and he comes in there, instead of doing the right thing by the country, he bashed the country, take the country down. And black folks ought to be ashamed of going along with this guy. He got us divided. You know what they call me, Savage? Uncle
what?
Tom, everything else, that I'm not going along.
In other words, you got to be for him because of the race thing. I know how that works. It's very strong. I know how it works. I know exactly how this works. Every ethnic group has the same problem. It's the same amongst Chinese, Jews, Hispanics, you name it. Any ethnic group that goes against anyone within their own ethnicity, no matter how bad they are, they're called every name under the sun.
Under the sun. And wait a minute. And here Hillary goes and stabs us in the back. You know what? You're right. Enemy within. We are in trouble. And the American people, it ain't going to matter what.
AJ, let me ask you a question. You sound like your horse, like you have a sore throat. What's with you today?
Savage, I've been debating people. I'm out here in the streets. This is about all right. I'm just one little person. And I'm out here debating people. I'm in the stores. I'm just carving up conversations with them. And I'm letting them know that this regime is taking over this country. And you better wake up. This is different. This is different.
This is worse than Boss Tweed. This one could be fatal. And as I said, you don't have to look any further than the Gulf spill. Why would they shut down the barges? Tell me that one. Yeah, ask them why they would stop them. For life preservers?
Get these people off of welfare and get them all down in these towns and get them out there. We're here in Texas, and I'm telling you, Perry will get these people working down here, and we're doing fine in Texas, Savage. But, you know, this is blatantly done on purpose. This man
well,
on the
as I said, it's either a combination from column A of incompetence or from column B, corruption. But you take one from column A and one from column B, and what you wind up with is column O. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Shrimp boats is a common, their sails are inside. Shrimp boats is a common, there's dancing tonight. Why don't you hurry, hurry, hurry home? Why don't you hurry, hurry, hurry home?
It's another record you have to break down there in Louisiana. Shrimp boats are coming. That's it. No more shrimp scampi. No more this. You know, it hasn't affected any of the Larry Davids and the Woody Allens yet on the Upper East Side. They figured they'd get the shrimp from Thailand. A fetish for shrimp on the Upper East Side for some reason. But think of all of the dishes that are going to be altered in the American lexicon of foodology. From Chinese to Italian, you know, I mean, just think of they're going to have to put X's through. Shrimp scampi, shrimp and peanut sauce. Well, all the dishes, I mean, you think about what a big industry the shrimp industry is. I happen to love Gulf shrimp. It's finished, finito, gone, over. I don't like the contaminated shrimp from Thailand. And you ever eat that garbage, that frozen stuff from India, Pakistan? I mean, let's start. I mean, it's like the terrorist on the side. He grows shrimp in a pond. In between bomb making, he has a shrimp farm. And during the season when they can't grow them, the monsoon, he's out planting roadside bombs. I don't like the Indian shrimp, the Thai shrimp, as I say. You know, I don't trust those waters. I don't know what's in the water there. The Gulf, the shrimp always tasted better, the Gulf shrimp, truthfully. Just as like calamari, ask me calamari. I like Monterey, California calamari. For a couple of years, we couldn't get it during El Nino. It was horrendous, all the other calamari. I love locally raised seafood here in the San Francisco area. I also love the vegetables out of the Central Valley. They're the best in the world. I remember when I moved to New York for a couple of years, must be, I don't know, 15 years ago now, how paltry the vegetables were compared in the supermarkets compared to California. It was such a different world. And you don't realize it until you get, you know, you walk away from it, what we have in some parts of this country till you lose it. So now we're going to have a whole menu item gone. But it's not just the shrimp. What else comes out of the Gulf? Has anyone analyzed what seafood is going to be lost? We know about the shrimp. That's a given. But what else comes out of the Gulf of Mexico that is a staple on the American diet? I mean, one-third of our seafood comes out of the Gulf of Mexico. One-third of the seafood Now, if there is a listener who is from the New Orleans area, who is in the fishing industry in some way, who can tell us what other fishery products or fish we are going to be missing, I'd like to know. New York, W.R. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a full-time paid firefighter in New Jersey. On September 11th, I watched the towers burn and fall. I watched 343 of my brothers perish. I wanted to go and help. I didn't want to get paid. I grabbed my gear. We went in. They turned us back. Why did they turn us back? Because they were getting federal funds. They were going to be getting federal funds. And they didn't want
bingo.
To lose any of the money.
Bingo. Bingo. Triple bingo. You won the lotto. That's what Obama's minions are doing. You're using the Coast Guard as muscle to stop the Louisiana people from defending their own wild lands. And they're doing it because they want that money from BP to clean it up and running it through the sieve of the union bosses.
Exactly what they're doing.
It's so naked and blatant that any man, blue collar, white collar, yellow collar, pink collar, no collar, can see this. How? What am I, the only one who said this, John? Am I the only one who said that he did it on purpose, that he stopped the barges on purpose so they can get the money off the top?
You're not the only one. We've watched it happen several times, and we're sick of it. We're sick of it. It made us ill. September 11th made us ill for years. Every time I see a picture of the Twin Towers, I get sick.
No, go tell that to Mayor Bloomberg, who's building a mosque on the site. He don't care.
He makes me ill.
No, he's another one. He is nakedly Machiavellian as they come, that guy. But let's let that go. Thanks for the call. Sad story. New York, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Get the Sleepy Mary song ready for Tom. Go ahead, please.
Mike, listen, I'm sitting in traffic in the Throg's Neck Bridge, and I love that Italian music. The only one issue, it's wetting my appetite, and I can't go anywhere right now.
So let's say, because you're right near City Island, I bet you if you wish, you could come off the bridge and go have some what? What would you have?
I'd go right to Bell Boulevard. I'm going to move for Fettuccine Alfredo, something nice and heavy.
So you mean the music alone makes you salivate?
Oh, that music reminds me of sitting in Brooklyn at my grandpa's at his table with his my brother-in-law's and uncles. It brings back great memories.
I understand. So let me ask you, let's say you're a few generations removed from that. Where would you get your Italian food this weekend since the family situation is no longer the same?
Well, in Brooklyn, we'd go and get our fresh mozzarella at the Eagle Shop. Now, I don't know if it's there anymore. I live in the islands. And the prime meat I'll get from my grandfather's butcher shop. That's on Mermaid Avenue, Major Meat.
Oh, well, your grandfather is still in the butcher business?
No, he's since deceased, and the business was open since 1927. They closed it, but they're revitalizing, quote-unquote, Coney Island. And after 80 years of my grandfather's butcher shop, there's a Mexican butcher shop in there now. In other words...
But you can't get the cuts of meat that you want, can you?
No, you can get a hell of a burrito, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's a different cuisine. It has its own pluses and minuses. I like a burrito once in a while. My body can't digest beans. That's the problem. It's not even a joke. I don't have the enzymes to digest beans. Would you believe that? It's not part of my cuisine. I cannot eat beans.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm going to eat a dinner with Beano, you're mistaken. I'm not taking an enzyme to go with a dinner. In other words, my body's saying don't eat it. You know, if your body don't have the enzyme for it, don't eat it. I just don't do well with beans. I don't even eat fava beans. You shouldn't eat them, by the way. You know, you talk about food. I know a lot about the ins and outs of the chemistry of foods. People don't realize this. Back in 1982, I published a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist. I'll never forget it to this day. And in my research, Macmillan published it. In my research, I discovered that fava beans, you know fava beans? They're a very big part of the Italian diet, particularly in traditional Italian diets. And they've come back now. Did you know that there are many people who cannot break down fava beans? That, in fact, it leads to internal bleeding in people who lack the enzyme necessary to break down fava beans. Now, you wouldn't know this from the cooking shows. Everyone's a chef today. You turn on the cooking show, $4 an hour. Now, all of a sudden, they put a beanie on them, and you got to eat raspberries. They don't know what they're talking about. They put raspberries, everything they put raspberries on. Give me a lamb chop and drizzle. All I got to do is say drizzle with a raspberry, and they think that they're a chef. But go eat the lamb chop.
Savage.
C'è una luna mezzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Piglia via cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia
tu. Pensa tu. Sette piglio.
Sette piglia lo pesciaiole,
pesciaiole.
Sempre lo pescia
maratena. Beautiful lingo. Pesciaiole.
Se ci ingappa la fantasia dei pescioli a vecchiuzza
mia. I can't keep up with this guy. Slow him down. La, la, la. Everybody sing. Sing about the bacala and the calamari and the eggplant on the Savage Nation. Second stanza, you know, like it. I rap you in the mouth. Okay, next, knock it off. Knock it off. That's terrific music, but we're talking about what the shrimp you're not going to have anymore and how it's going to affect all of the snobs on the Upper East Side who love their shrimp cocktail. Once they see that, who they're going to blame? BP forever. But it got me thinking about a book I wrote back in 19. I'm going to read this to you about fava beans because you don't know about fava bean hemolysis. It may save someone's, not your life, but it may save you. Well, let me read it to you. This is copyright 1981. My famous book, The Way of the Skeptical Nutritionist, Macmillan Publishing. Very little known book today. But in it, I remember discovering in my research a problem with fava beans. And fava beans have become popular again. I want to warn people to watch out for this because there are ethnic groups that cannot break down the fava beans. And let me read this to you. First of all, let's start with the ethnic groups who have the problem. Oriental Jewish groups and the Kurds have one of the highest frequencies of this disorder known as fava bean hemolysis. Now you say, well, I'm not a Jew and I'm not a Kurd, so what do I care? It doesn't matter. Favism affects people with a Mediterranean phenotype. And that means anyone with any Mediterranean blood might have a remnant of this problem. And what it is very interesting. This is an inability, as I said, it's a rare genetic disorder that occurs in these people. And they cannot break down fava beans. And how do you know if you have it? Well, it can occur in as few as a few hours. Favism, which is your inability to break down fava beans, produces hemolysis, and it can occur within a few hours of inhaling even the pollen of fava bean plants. Did you hear that? Or within 1 or 2 days after eating fresh or dried fava beans. And what happens? How would you know? The urine becomes very dark or red. Shock may develop in bad cases, and death can follow. The condition is caused by a lack of glucose-6-phosphate dehydrogenase, G6PD. Now, knowledge of the toxic response of people with this deficiency dates back to antiquity. You wouldn't know this today, but it was known back in the 6th century BC, as far back as Pythagoras. People were warned that eating fava bean could yield death. While in the 5th century BC, Herodotus also mentioned favism. I don't want to read any more of this from this book. But you should know that there are foods that can heal and foods that can make you sick and foods that can kill you. And many people don't even know that. The main thing to understand is that if you get dark urine or black urine, if you get even abdominal or back pain from eating these beans, you are one of those individuals who is affected by favism. Even if you're a liberal who loves Obama, he's not going to be able to help you with this because it's a genetic disorder. No matter how many segments of Curb Your Enthusiasm or how many Woody Allen movies you've sat hysterically laughing at, the Bush administration doesn't help. Does not help. No matter what you have done for the sake of liberalism and communism, you cannot digest the fava beans. I'm sorry to tell you about that. And this is this can become a new litmus test for communism, actually, if Jimmy's on the line, because what we could do is we could administer. Let's say we get people that we suspect of being communists. What we could do is strap them to a chair, and we could either wave fava bean flowers in front of their nose and see if they get, or we can force them to eat fava beans, and if they get dark urine, we'll know they're communists. All right, I guess from the sublime to the ridiculous, just for fun, because I know many of you don't like reality. That's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I want some music. Any other music we got out there? Not the any other food-related songs that we can start playing? We got Shrimp Boats Are Coming. We got there's no other food songs, isn't there? No, Mama's Cooking's corny, but it's not even good. You know which one always used to touch me when I was young? Papa, Oh Mine Papa. I don't even want to hear it. I'll start to get sad. I'll get melancholy thinking about that. I don't want to hear about that. Play Oh Mine Papa. Let's have the audience start to cry right now inside their own hearts.
Oh, my papa, to me.
I'll show you with a strap, you son of a gun. That's how wonderful. I'll give you an idea how wonderful I am, you son of a... Get over here. I'll give you a beating with that strap. Oh, my papa. Everyone turns their father or mother into a saint. You little... Get over here, you. I'll kid you. Did you do your homework? I'll show you what's what. Get over here. I'll whack you with this frying pan.
Take me on his knee.
Yeah, everybody was kind and wonderful back then. Today it's all come to nothing. Yeah, it's not true. Some were good, some were bad, some have the temperament of a saint, some have the temperament of a sinner. What are you going to do with its life today? So we're talking about seafood somehow. We're talking about seafood in the Gulf. Albany, New York, Jack, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I was going to say that someone in the Obama administration must listen to your show because you may not have heard on the news break, because you're doing your show. When they went to the news, they said President Obama or the administration is now allowing the Coast Guard and all the fishing boats and the different volunteers out there permission to go ahead, and they're calling it some name. I forgot the name, some Force of One or some garbage like that.
Oh, they called off the Coast Guard because the life preservers were, and the fire extinguishers were checked. I guess all the Captain Kangaroo can now rest tonight, the Coast Guard captain. No, I don't know if they listened to the show. There's been an outcry outside of my show, but look, my guess is that they have designated listeners to every conservative talk radio show in America, and they produce a summary, let's say, of what we're saying. And they realize if it's rational and not over the top, we can't be wrong about everything. Just as he can not be wrong about everything, only 99% of it, he's got to be right at least twice a day like a stopped watch, right? So even we have to be right twice a day. And I'm right today about this. I mean, they shouldn't have stopped the barges, that's all. Who's that in the background there? I got a scare job.
Picking up my kids.
Oh, I got frightened. I thought I was hearing things. It was like a projected psychosis. All right, thanks for that call. I don't hear voices, to tell you the truth. I only make you hear voices on the Savage Nation. That's the beauty of talk radio, is that when I talk, you actually think you're hearing voices, which you are. It's my voice. You know, the weekend is here. Look at this. And we're talking about all these terrible things in the world. People are stuck in traffic. You can't believe what's going on. Still stuck in traffic and heat waves. 99 degrees in Miami down there. People are dying. I got friends in Miami. They say they've never seen heat like this. Now, they're global warming skeptics. I don't know where Al Gore is. This is a perfect opportunity for him to fly down to Miami and get on the bumper of a car and, let's say, fry an egg. I mean, if I were Al Gore trying to resuscitate a dead horse, I'd fly to Miami and I'd take a six pack of eggs and I'd fry one on a hood of a car at noon and say, this proves definitively that global warming is real and you got to give up more of your income to me so I can run around with Larry David's ex-wife. In great style on private jets to save the world from collapse. Obama administration to file suit over Arizona immigration law. They took, in other words, the wrong side on that one. But they're beholden to La Raza and the illegal immigrants. They represent them. If only Republicans were clearer on that and they said, we don't represent them, we represent the citizens against the illegals, then we'd know which side they're on. But we don't know which side they're on. They're also trying to, like, you know, hedge it and do the fence thing and... You know, BP CEO hands over cleanup oversight. They're blaming him. It's absurd. See, this is an interesting thing. How could you blame the managing director of British Petroleum for the accident? You think that a CEO of a company knows what their drilling platform is doing? They don't know. Now, that doesn't mean that ultimately the buck doesn't stop there. But if that is true, then you have to say that Obama's responsible for the Fort Hood massacre. You can say, well, he isn't, because he wasn't in charge of Major Hassan. Maybe he never saw any of the papers which said he's a psychotic Muslim major who's saying God, Allah this, Allah that, and signing medical reports with Allah be praised. Could you imagine if a Christian major in the military had for over a year been signed every medical report with Jesus saves? Tell me how long he would have lasted in the military, like 1 second? The MPs would have come for the guy and thrown him out. They would have cashed him out of the military, right? But he could say Allah this, Allah that, and they didn't touch him. The Department of the Army is responsible and others, but they're not going to pay for it any more than Napolitano is going to pay for the 5 failed breaches of American security. That's how it works. You know, she's a Napoli Donna, that's all. If you're a Napoli Donna, you pay for nothing. A Napoli Donna. It's another beautiful word. Either you're a Napoli Donna or a Napoli Donna. She's a Napoli Donna. That's what they call a Napolitano. That's how it's a derivation of a word. That's a derivation of a word. That's all. Everybody has an ethnic background, and I taught you today. What if you learned something today that you can't eat fava beans? That's the latest. I see cooking shows. I can't believe it. Everything they don't even know what they're cooking half the ingredients, that there's, some of them are deadly. Now, let alone they taste horrible. But all I got to do is drizzle olive oil on it and sprinkle and smash a raspberry on it, and they're ready, the head chef of the universe. I don't know. My mother never would have made food like that. I can't eat it. The minute they put a sweetening agent on food, I don't go to that restaurant. I never go back. No, sir. I don't eat that kind of food. If I want a dish, why would I want raspberries or fruit on top of a piece of meat? Who the hell invented that kind of cooking? Where did this come from? It's like a deranged mind. It's like fusion cooking. I've always called it confusion cooking, my friends, as opposed to Confucian cooking. I like Confucian cooking, but it's hard to find. But the confusion cooking prevails in New York City in particular. Confusion is out and confusion is in. Everything's fusion. You know what fusion means? The guy don't know what the hell he's doing. He squeezed the raspberry and sprinkled olive oil, and he called it fusion cooking. I'm mixing Asian and Italian. I'm going to come up with a perfectly nauseating mixture that nobody could ever eat. It's like, ugh, but oh, I loved it. Why? Because he's famous. Nah, I don't like that kind of food myself. You know what? Like my diet when I'm sick. Did I tell you how I cured myself? I didn't, because I haven't cured myself yet, so I haven't been able to tell you about it. I don't want to curse it either, because I'm on the rebound slightly. I turned the corner with the 50,000 units of vitamin A. I told you that this is one of the least known factors in recovery from illness. Everyone knows about vitamin C, of course. Linus Pauling alerted America to that, and he was a great genius, and many of us know that and live on it. But I would like to recommend that you understand how important vitamin A is and how deficient most of us are in vitamin A, and I don't mean beta-carotene. Beta-carotene has limited capacity, I think a very limited capacity to resolve certain problems, while vitamin A, which can be very toxic, by the way, I want to caution you, vitamin A can be extremely toxic, but most of us have very limited amounts of vitamin A. There's a famous story about vitamin A and liver. As you well know, liver is a great source of vitamin A. I don't like liver myself. It's not just that it's rich in cholesterol. I don't particularly like organ meats. I'll eat them once a year or so. My mother ate a lot of them. Brain, she ate liver. She ate all of that. She lived to 88. All right, God bless her. She ate all the organ meats. I don't understand. It's very ethnic, that stuff. Like the Chinese still do. I go to Chinatown, they all have their liver, the brain they eat. I'm not into that whole thing. I'm a little too far. I'm too acculturated for like cow brain, you know, dish. Like, but people do. I mean, in many parts of the world, they eat the whole animal and throw out the best part. But where was I when I got distracted, babe? Well, I was going to tell him a very important food story on the show. Who's following the rambling? The ramblings of Savage. Vitamin A. Oh, the famous story about Arctic explorers. They were starving to death, so they shot a polar bear. Sorry to tell you. That's what you people do when they're starving. They kill an animal and eat it. There's no, like, plastic wrap in a Safeway. There's no tofu in the Arctic. You know, it's like blizzard. Think of, like, the green monster and the wind and 80 miles an hour, and nothing grows. So they killed a poor polar bear, and they ate it. They ate the whole polar bear liver and died. Why did they die? Because the polar bear liver is the single richest source of vitamin A known in the entire natural world, is polar bear liver. The polar bear apparently collects vitamin A. You think about that. That's very interesting. Where does the polar bear get it from? He gets it from the fish. He gets it from the fish livers. And his liver collects it. Think about how powerful and healthful that animal is. Anyway, the point of the story is they ate polar bear liver and died because they took in 250 million units, I think. I think it was 250 million, not 250,000 IUs. The equivalent of 250 million IUs of vitamin A, and they died from toxicity. So we're not talking about those levels. Okay, we're talking about when you're sick, I would say really sick, you could probably do a range between 50,000 IUs and 250,000 IUs for a very short period of time. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here comes the shrimp on board to take me to Louisiana. Here comes the shrimp on board to take me to Louisiana.
It is the Savage Nation. Country's a mess. Country's a mess. Give the guy a chance. He's trying his best. He never had the chance to be president before. He's got a few more years to work it out. Be nice to the guy. He is trying. He's trying his best. That's all. By the way, we were speaking about polar bears prior to the break on the Savage Nation, and I have discovered that there is an animal known as the bipolar bear that is found only in the Central Park Zoo. And apparently the bipolar bear was a polar bear that became bipolar from the type of people who visited him, that type of animal from the Upper West Side. So the exposure, the overexposure to people like Woody Allen turns a polar bear into a bipolar bear. That should be stolen, like, let's say, within 12 hours on one of the night shows. Not bad. They wouldn't use that. They'll turn it on a Republican. They'll say the bipolar bear is the result of George Bush, or the bipolar bear is the result of the polar bear listening to Richard Nixon tapes. I am not a sneak. I am not a thief. Now, we're talking about a very serious item here, the seafood. Everyone eats seafood today. I myself have gone back to meat. It's too much here. I've eaten seafood. It's coming out of my gills. I know the omega-3 fatty acids. You can overdo that too, by the way. If you like it, God bless you. But, you know, there are a lot of fish. I mean, an excessive amount of fish is not for everybody either, incidentally. Some people are totally allergic to fish. They can't even eat it. They get sick from it. And shrimp they can't eat. No, they can't eat any seafood products. So they're vegetarian, which is good. Then you got those. The complications of food is amazing for some people. Others can eat anything. They're very lucky people if they have that kind of constitution. But, you know, there's something to be said for going out and just simply getting either a steak or a whatever. Your mother wasn't a steak, and your meat and potatoes wasn't so bad either. No one had an allergy to the food in those days. True, they died at 46 from heart attacks. All right. But at least they didn't have allergies and complain every 2 minutes. And this hair and that hair, and my face broke out. The omega-3. They didn't add up every second what was in the meal, omega-6. They sat with, like a thermometer, they sit down. Every meal, and calculate carbohydrates, the amount of LDL, HDL, every meal. I mean, I've done it myself. I wrote books on it, made half the nation neurotic. I wrote 16 books on nutrition before I got into talk radio 16 years ago. Well, so I understand it because I was obsessed with the topic. It has... Look, it's kept me alive. Was it not for my diet, I would have been dead 20 years ago. Just think about that, all the people in the liberal world. I followed my own advice. Now I'm not following it anymore. I'm so fed up with Obama that I'm eating meat and potatoes again. I figure it doesn't matter. Soon I'll be have all my freedom stolen from me and all my money taken by the government. So I may as well eat meat and potatoes. What's the difference? It's something along those lines. It's almost like when you watch movies about World War II. Do you ever watch those movies like... Something intriguing about the celebrations, not so much after the war, the people dancing in the street, but you look at the waves and the wax and the soldiers, like in England when they went like to the dance after the battlefield or on the way to Europe, how they danced with such abandon. It looked like so much fun. Everyone smoked and they drank and God knows, you know, I mean, they didn't hold anything back. You know, it was like Lindsay Lohan prime. Right away, boom, bang, bing, ba, boom, because tomorrow they could be, you know, shot down over Germany. Everybody understood that. It looked like a lot of fun those days, but, you know, it wasn't fun. It was very serious times. It was living on the edge in a real way as opposed to the fake way. But I'm getting to a bigger point, which I've completely forgotten as a result of my illness, so you'll have to forgive me. I don't know. I was trying to derive something brilliant. I completely forgot it. But I like to watch World War II because I know the bad guys always lose. Whenever I see Hitler, how he starts out with the dignified, the uniforms are all perfect. In the end, they ruin the entire nation with his megalomania. That bastard. Every time I see him mocking a wolf's lair, marching around, all of them, those drug addict pimps, every last one of them, I love to see them dead in the end. I know how it ends. That's why I love it. But you got to remember that most of the airmen were flying suicide missions on our side. You don't know that. Do you know the odds that they were flying, that they'd come back? Very low, but you don't hear that. These men were the greatest of heroes.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up.
BP has publicly pledged to make good on the claims that it owes to the people in the Gulf. And so the agreement we reached sets up a financial and legal framework to do it. This $20 billion fund will not be controlled by either BP or by the government. It will be put in an escrow account administered by an impartial, independent third party.
Oh, little girl of mine.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Sure look fine. Yes, you appeal to me.
We have a little more information on the mediator, the lawyer from Harvard, who Obama gave the $20 billion of the Gulf, the BP's money, to dispense as he wishes. Who is this lawyer? Well, did you know that Feinberg became Ted Kennedy's chief of staff before he left to become a Washington lawyer? Did you know that in 1984 he had been the chief mediator in suing the manufacturers of the defoliant Agent Orange because some veterans said that it made them sick? The companies denied it all. Ken Feinberg negotiated a settlement in just 6 weeks. Okay. The vets wanted $1.25 billion. The vets said they wanted $1.2 billion. And the chemical company said they'll put up $25,000. We have no idea how much he got out of them. He helped develop compensation guidelines for Jewish settlers evicted from Gaza in 2005. He set the lawyer's fees in the 2001 settlement of the German slave labor restitution suit. Now, we don't know how much money he got himself, do we? We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. This week, Obama stopped barges off the coast of Louisiana, which were being used to suck the oil out of the water in the Gulf. Why would he do that? Governor Jindal was furious.
I got on the White House phone call yesterday morning at 8:30, talked to the White House, talked to the Admiral, saying we need to do everything we can to get these barges back deployed, back out there, taking the soil out of the water. So what is frustrating is that you've got men working on these barges that live here in Louisiana, that have gone fishing out in Barataria Bay for years. And literally for the last 24 hours, eight barges were deployed. They literally watched that oil instead of being able to pick it up. They had the equipment to pick it up, and they weren't allowed to do so.
And Obama's drilling moratorium is killing the economy. Even though other nations are still drilling in the Gulf, listen to these men. Their lives are being destroyed by Obama's deceit.
To me, the oil field is the heartbeat of America. And there's a lot of people out here, good people. Good safety record. And it's devastating. I could lose my house. I would have to find another way of life.
90% of my business is in Deepwater Gulf of Mexico, so it had a major effect on my company. You know, 2 weeks ago, we laid off 18 people. We're talking about $700,000 of revenue overnight. We're going to go from $1 million a month to $300 a month starting July. If I don't find alternative revenue in 6 months, I will be out of business.
And who was Nancy Pelosi mad at? At Obama? No, she was mad at Representative Joe Barton for saying that BP was being shaken down.
I was quite concerned about the response from my Republican colleagues, and I say colleagues more than one, about even apologizing to BP because of this settlement, which would help people. Well, people in the Gulf are suffering from actions taken by BP, Republicans in the Congress are apologizing to BP. We're trying to rein in big oil. The Republicans are not. Same thing with health insurance. We were reining in health insurance industries. The Republicans said no. As we meet here today, our conference committees, a conference committee is meeting on reining in Wall Street, those who are reckless on Wall Street, causing joblessness on Main Street. When we passed the bill for Wall Street reform in the House, not one Republican voted for it.
And what is Nancy Pelosi's base concerned about while the Gulf is being destroyed? Here's the kind of billboard they put up in San Francisco.
The Final Exit Network says the sign will be up for 30 days. Their message is to terminally ill individuals who choose to end their lives rather than die naturally.
We don't encourage anybody to end their life. We don't provide the means for them to do so, and we don't physically assist them in any way. What we do is give them that compassion and support because we don't think that anyone in that situation should have to die alone.
And when they're not destroying the environment or promoting euthanasia, they're attacking the governor of Arizona, who just wants to stop the scourge of illegal aliens.
We are not going to back away from this issue. We are going to pursue it. We're going to be very aggressive, and we'll meet them in court. We will meet them in court, and we will win. I truly believe that we will win, and the population of America, again, agrees with Arizona. I believe that the Obama administration and the party is going to probably feel some ramifications in this next coming election in regards to the behavior on this problem.
That's good. Let's talk about other things. I'd rather talk about the trick of a tiny belly. Every website I go on, I can't take it with that ad anymore. What do you mean trick of a tiny belly? I don't want a tiny belly. I want a big belly. It's the mark of a man. Well, what's with the tiny? What's this obsession? The smaller the soul, the tinier the belly. The smaller the heart, the tinier the belly. Why don't you can't have a little gut on you? Look like a man. What are you afraid of looking like a man? A guy can't have a little blubber on his gut. When did that become like not manly? You know, it's very unmanly for a man to look at himself in the mirror day and night with the lats and the pecs and the stomach and stupid. Would your father have done that? True, he died at 47, but would he have done it? That's the point. Oh, God, I'm just pulling your ear. I'm afraid to go on the news right now. It's getting so bad. Every second, dead crabs now in the Gulf now. No, it's heartbreaking. I'm an environmentalist in a way. I mean, I'm a conservationist, more so than Barbara Boxer, I can guarantee you. I guarantee I've hiked more mountains and trekked more jungles and, you know, piloted more bays than Obama, I can guarantee you. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm so young and you're so old. This, my darling, I've been told.
Dogs inherit $7 million Miami Beach mansion. A South Florida man is filing a lawsuit after his late mother left $25 million to staff members and bequeathed $3 million and her Miami Beach mansion to her three dogs. Oh, boy, you talk about an Oedipal complex gone awry. Oh. And don't miss this picture of the hood rats rioting in Los Angeles after the game. Mainly illegal alien Mexicans, by the way. I have people on the ground. That's right. They didn't even go to the game, but they came there in their, let us say, wife-beater undershirts and tattoos, just to smash marquees, jump on vehicles, break people's noses, and light fires. It's a cultural thing. And you wouldn't want to interfere in a cultural way, would you? All on MichaelSavage.com. It's time for something lighter. Joining us now is James Herson with his report on what's going on in Hollywood.
Stars love causes. Whether it's saving animals from becoming a fur coat or even seeking a cure for insomnia, some celebrity is attaching themselves as a spokesperson. There was even a scene in the movie Bruno. The scene is actually remarkably similar to one of my book, Tales from the Left Coast, where Sacha Baron Cohen's character is told, if he wants to be a Hollywood star, he must find a cause, any cause. But one cause is pretty much missing from the Hollywood radar these days. It's the current disastrous oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico. And one celeb is speaking out about Hollywood's no-show in the Gulf. Ian Somerhalder is a poster boy actor with throngs of young fans from his roles in The Vampire Diaries and Lost. The young actor is deeply upset at his colleagues in Hollywood because of their silence and their lack of support for the people and the environment in the wake of the catastrophe that continues to erupt in the Gulf. Quote, "Coming from the entertainment world, I'm really shaken about how quiet Hollywood is," the young actor told E. Ian says he's really bummed that no one is coming up to help the situation. He says down there in the Gulf is ground zero. The place is going to need money. This is the bottom line. Somerhalder even pitched a telethon to really paint a picture of exactly how much devastation is going on down there. You know, I vaguely remember a telethon being held for another disaster that took place in the Louisiana area. More on that later. But this young actor, Somerhalder, is from Louisiana, from Covington, and he went back to his hometown to help a local animal shelter as they're cleaning up and saving the lives of pelicans that are impacted, being covered with the oil slicks. The actor filmed a public service announcement to help rally the people there. He says there's lots of people working around the clock to try to tame what he calls the beast. And if you look at the beaches, the beach would normally have families and kids playing and dads on the pier with their buddies fishing, and none of that is down there. It's the things you remember, the times you spent with your parents or your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters, fishing, learning about nature. Ian talked about his base, his roots, and he's going to fight tooth and nail to protect it. And he's different than a lot of the other loudmouth celebs we were used to.
Why do you say that?
He told the LA Times that he never talks about politics, but he says now is a time to be angry and sad. I mean, let's take a look. Let's contrast the way the Left Coast bunch reacted to Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. You remember, Sean Penn was out in that leaky boat of his posing for pictures. John Travolta filled his personal jet with supplies and flew into the Big Easy. And Brad Pitt was designing and building houses for Katrina victims. George Clooney actually made a $1 million donation in a flourish. And Jamie Foxx raised another million. And right after Katrina, the post-Katrina MTV Movie Awards were dominated by shout-outs to New Orleans and jabs to then-President Bush. The 2010 version, the most recent MTV Awards, was almost devoid of any mention of the Gulf Gusher. After Katrina, a one-hour telethon was aired by six television networks to raise funds, and the performers included U2, Neil Young, Mary J. Blige, Garth Brooks, Mariah Carey, Sheryl Crow, the Dixie Chicks, Alicia Keys, Randy Newman, Paul Simon, Rod Stewart, and Ellen DeGeneres and Chris Rock did some Katrina comedy, and Jack Nicholson actually sang Maria from West Side Story. He did it because a woman calling in who donated money had requested it. But that was then. This is now. The big names are not even talking the talk or walking the walk when it comes to the Gulf catastrophe. Not even Bono.
Why is that?
It's probably not just the fact that it's not Oscar season. Back then, we had a different president of the White House, and he was one that Hollywood disliked. Now, to their credit, some other stars did organize a Gulf Aid concert. They raised a somewhat modest $350,000, a kind of a drop in the bucket here. Lenny Kravitz, John Legend, and the rapper Mos Def performed for the Gulf fishing families and for wetlands restoration. But these are not the same A-list personalities that seem to be obsessed with Katrina. And yes, we heard Avatar director James Cameron was invited to a ridiculous White House meeting because, oh, he is an expert in underwater filming. And to his credit, Kevin Costner invested $26 million in technology to separate oil from water. And Costner's already sold some of his machines to BP, And according to Costner's company, the machine can clean 200 gallons of water a minute. Now, that sounds like a lot, but according to the U.S. EPA, the volume of water in the Gulf is 643 quadrillion gallons.
Oh, my God.
Quadrillion? That's not a number we usually use. I mean, one quadrillion is even more than the national debt of $13 trillion. As a matter of fact, if you counted 1 gallon per second, to count to the number one quadrillion would take 32 million years. Now, the UK Guardian did the math on how long it would take Costner's machine to rid the Gulf of Mexico of its oil, and it would take 6.1 billion years to clean up the Gulf using Costner's machines.
This is unbelievable to me.
And by the way, scientists estimate the Earth has been around for only 4.5 billion years. 4.5 billion years. But you know what, Michael? That's about how long it will take for lefty hypocrites in Hollywood to show some of their overwhelming compassion to the oil spill victims. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. It's always good to be back with you and the Savage Nation audience with a message of health freedom, because there's some big-time stories rolling out this week that the mainstream media doesn't know how to cover, but we do so here on the Savage Nation. And one of these stories goes to the heart of what's wrong with the current, let's say, healthcare system, which we know is misnamed. But there's a big story out of Portland. I call it a big story because it's rather interesting. There's a parents of epileptics have found a really cost-effective assistance up there in Portland with through a medical doctor, a pediatric neurologist who's been working with somebody wonderful, this woman named Carrie Loughran. And she works with physicians. In fact, all over the world she consults with them. She's actually a dietitian. And she works particularly with children with a lot of epileptic seizure-like activity by utilizing something called a ketogenic diet.
Hmm.
She pays attention to blood sugar and other things, but she really understands that a lot of the seizure activity that they see in children, it's true for adults outside of true head injury, is actually due to gut dysbiosis, gut disruption, inflammation of the gut, a lot of different things. When we talk about the second brain, if you will, the gut-brain connection. And so she is working with patients and children for many years now with great success in reducing epileptic seizures with little to no drug interference, even though she certainly works with kids that are on medication as well. And so you think this would be something that we would laud and that the government would say, hey, wow, we could save a lot of money here, helping so many children, not having to rely on $1,000 a month or more medications that these people can't afford. Or if they're on insurance, certainly you think the insurance companies would be pleased to reduce their costs by looking at a dietary option. But evidently, that's not the way it works in the allopathic medical monopoly.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because hospitals have cut funds for food therapy, though the diet, you know, again, works better than the drugs. Wouldn't they be making more money if they cut the expenses of the drugs, which are far more expensive than, of course, the food or the dietary shifts that these families have seen such success with? Now, the calls are still coming in, even though they've pulled the funds. She's lost her job up there in Portland. The calls are coming in from neurologists and pediatricians from around the world who have relied on this dietitian's expertise to help them treat their epileptic patients. In fact, they call her for the worst of the worst. These children, some of them, which suffer 100 epileptic seizures a day.
Oh, my God.
And now we're acknowledging that the experts saying that Loughran and the children who can't obtain her services are now victims of a healthcare system, in fact, that isn't set up to pay for therapies that don't bring in enough money.
That's crazy. Sorry, crazy.
And I'm thinking, you know, there'd be plenty of money to be bringing in when you're not having to spend it on $1,000 a month or more drugs. But of course, the real issue is that the money is not going, in this case, to the drug industry. And this is wrong.
Why is that?
Why? Because it's a monopoly system. Something that has proven to work. Even the pediatric oncologists are acknowledging this. They're now denying this coverage simply because it isn't funneling money back into the complex, which has made so much money off of its granted monopoly status. And there's a quote here from the article from James Shimshock, a Portland pediatric neurologist. He says, it's tragic. He's worked with Loughran and calls her unique among dietitians working with epileptic children. He says here, she's the only one I've run across who knows what she's doing. She needs to go somewhere she'll be supported. Rumors have it that she is being given offers at other places, maybe Stanford. I think she'll end up on her feet. But again, what a tragedy for the Portland area families that now lose access to her because the insurance won't cover it. And this is part, again, of what is wrong. But do we rely on government, Michael, to solve the problem that government created? I don't think so. Because there's big news out of the FDA here. You will find this quite shocking. You know, we hear the FDA, it warns us all about mercury in fish, mercury in the environment, in the air. And yet, the FDA continues to deny that mercury being put in the mouths of babies in the form of dental amalgams. Notice they try to call them silver fillings when it's more than 50% mercury to make it sound somewhat benign. But yet, if you say silver is good for you, then they'll attack you. But the U.S. Food and Drug Administration just last week announced plans to hold an advisory panel upcoming in December of this year to discuss several scientific issues that may affect the regulation of dental amalgam used for direct filling of carious lesions or structural defects in the teeth.
Unbelievable.
Now, most of America that is at least halfway educated has told their dentist in no uncertain terms, not only do I not want mercury in my mouth or the mouth of my children, I want it out of my mouth and the mouth of my children that you already put it in. Yet for years, dentists have been under a gag order by government and the ADA, the American Dental Association, that seems to never have met a mercury tooth filling that it didn't like. Yet we know of the neurological implications of having mercury, but they say, well, it's bound up. Yet scientists have shown that vapor does come off of these mercury amalgams, causing whole hosts of things. Now, I just hosted a big lecture discussion panel at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago. Had some pretty interesting people on there, including Dr. Joseph Mercola. Also, Dr. Hal Huggins, one of the pioneer dentists, who said, you know, I think it's a little insane to be putting mercury into children or women, especially of childbearing years, and expect that there is no negative impact that would ever occur. And so what is happening now is that who is getting hammered the worst are the inner city poor folks, the people that aren't aware of that mercury is even in a dental amalgam. And of course, the claim is, well, it's cheaper. We've got to give it to poor people. And yet the poor people are being hammered enough by toxic medicaments and food that is devoid of vitamins, minerals, and trace minerals. So the oxidative stress, the damage to the nerves and such becomes much worse in those least able to care for themselves and defend themselves against those who would take advantage of their situation in life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been a lot of pressure on the FDA and the ADA from many consumer groups. Including one site I'd urge your listeners to take a look at, toxicteeth.org, because of the science that is never allowed to be spoken of within government regulatory circles. But since they've been getting the pressure, they've received several petitions that are raising various issues relating to the final rule that they made that said, yeah, there might be a problem, but we're not going to do anything about it. You know, we're not going to rule it and ban it like it has been banned in other countries. And the concerns that were raised are legitimate scientific concerns about risk assessment method that was used by FDA in classifying these mercury amalgams and the bioaccumulative effect of mercury and the exposure, especially on the pediatric populations, to mercury vapor. And including, well, that was one that was issued by the National Academy of Sciences.
Right.
So we'll look forward to seeing what's going to happen there. And, of course, a lot of good consumer groups are putting the pressure on FDA. They're a little slow to figure out the things that you and I and the rest of the Savage Nation probably have figured out many years ago. And this goes to one other area that is very controversial. If you're ready for this, I'm going to cover it because it needs to be covered. And this is about a childhood infectious eruptive disease, what I call a rite of passage. When I found out this disease was going on in the neighborhood, I actually brought my children over to have a party with those children that had it.
Well, what is that?
Chicken pox. Chicken pox, something that is a pretty benign disease in, you know, mostly everybody, every child that gets it. And in the last some odd years, of course, when we grew up, Michael, chicken pox was, you know, not thought of as much of a big deal. You got through it, had some bumps, had some fever, you went on your merry way. But now they've got a vaccination for this. And of course, I've got to ask the question, because that's what I do. If there is not a God-granted, conferred immunity from the natural exposure and the natural overcoming of the, let's say, interaction with the herpes zoster varicella, known as the varicella virus, the chickenpox virus. In other words, we as children, we get chickenpox, and we were told by the medical community that we're immune for life. Hooray! No more chickenpox. It's great. But if it were true, if it were accurate, if it were factual that simply encountering a virus and then gaining the antibodies to it would confer immunity for life by natural means here, then why do any adults on planet Earth who have had chickenpox in childhood get something known as the shingles? That's right, caused by the very same virus that in childhood caused what they call the chickenpox. And we have antibodies to them. There's no argument about that. But it should be a clue for those of us that, well, are a little bit more awake than the average bear here in America to say, maybe there's something about this idea that antibodies are all we need to protect us from disease. Maybe it's more complex than that.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not here speaking out against antibodies. They're good. But is it sufficient? If we aren't granted it by God, by natural interaction, then how do we do it by needle, by injection? Whether it be with mercury or not in the form of vaccinations. I realize this is a very controversial topic, but we can speak of this because we believe in the First Amendment, the ability to debate and to raise questions. There is nothing that is without question. That which they say you cannot question, that's what I want to question the most. And so there's controversy now because evidently a lot of adults maybe not liking to get the shingles vaccine because in some cases it's causing the very same thing it's trying to prevent, supposedly. What they're calling these shingles and its painful complications, including post-herpetic neuralgia. A lot of neurological attacks by the varicella virus here in adulthood. And so I ask the question, and it brings up to light the Louis Pasteur, Antoine Béchamp smackdown of the centuries. You know, Pasteur, he was friends with the emperor. We talked about him. He said, it's the germ theory. It's the germ. It's the germ. Everybody be afraid of the germ. And Béchamp says, nope, it's the terrain. And actually, Pasteur, before he dies, acknowledges it's the terrain. That is the milieu, the environment. The health of any host is the biggest determining factor as to whether not only will you get sick, but if you do get sick, will it be pretty easy and you'll get through it? You'll be fine. You'll be stronger, in fact. These rites of passage in childhood that we are all told that we must prevent at all costs, that may be part of the normal and optimal and important maturation process of the immune system. We're not allowed to look at it that way, Michael. We have to see it as a vaccine deficiency disease.
Don't they see the obvious?
So they attack the moms, the dads out there that are legitimately asking questions. Where are the studies on safety and efficacy? They don't do them. They say it's unconscionable to do so. But where is the diseases in the Amish community like autism that is linked into some circles with the vaccinations? I know there's a lot of dispute out there, but get past the emotion and start looking at this thing, and we have questions that still need to be answered. So the FDA approved this shingles vaccine back in 2006. Since the 2 years and the data that they collected since it became available, fewer than 10% of all eligible patients have received it. So I think the word is getting out, just like we talked about the swine flu scam of 2009 that it turned out to be. Only 20, maybe 30% at most of Americans fell for the WHO propaganda now that they acknowledge. Certainly on many circles, they're asking the question, what were the pharmaceutical conflicts of interest there? And we come back to the fact that we know food is everything. That if you have nutritionists and dietitians that are actually working side by side with pediatric neurologists and undoing these epileptic seizure scenarios simply by changing the diet, then we need to be looking deeper into that. And of course, that changes the equation of the expense of healthcare because it comes down tremendously, but it threatens the monopoly, which, by the way, those of you who love freedom, monopoly, anti-freedom, I would dare say anti-American.
Where can we read more?
Thanks again, Michael. We're going to be doing a lot more on this, and you can check it out on my blog. You can search engine Robert Scott Bell or go to robertscottbell.blogspot.com, and we'll keep this power to heal back in the, you know, the hands where it belongs in the Savage Nation audience.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
Let's hear some music for Rock and Roll Friday. This is the Savage Nation. Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. The U.S. has no long-term political strategy for Afghanistan. In other words, Obama's losing in Afghanistan. 10 Afghans are AWOL from a U.S. base. Did you hear about that one? Obama invited, I don't know, 18 of them into the United States, and he gave them security badges that give them access to U.S. defense installations. They were putatively learning how to become U.S. pilots. 10 of them are missing. Will gas soon be $7 a gallon? That's a study's estimate of the per-gallon price of the president's global warming agenda, $7 a gallon. Guess he'll scream the loudest. The libs, won't they? Arizona governor vows to fight the federal suit over the law. Good for her. Joe Biden continues to demand more money for the stimulus, which they're changing to another name. Radical Islamists hold recruitment drive in Chicago. We are witnessing the emergence and the expansion of a jihadist recruitment factory in our midst, openly calling for jihad and for the establishment of a caliphate right in Chicago. Did Kagan compare the NRA to the Ku Klux Klan? 58% disapprove of Obama's performance, according to the Rasmussen poll. Teachers Union says seniority tops achievement. In other words, you can be demented and still teach as long as you've been there long enough. 500 arrested in U.S. mortgage fraud crackdown. Schools throw out a global warming book by Gore's producer. They said it was full of lies. That's Lori David's book. That's Larry David's wife. Are you surprised that she wrote a book full of mistakes? What would you expect from Larry David's wife? Obama's coast discard stops oil-sucking barges. All these stories are on MichaelSavage.com. As spill expands, so does presidential power. Don't miss Healing Children Naturally, Parents and Grandparents, A to Z, Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints. You're not going to want to miss Healing Children Naturally, only on MichaelSavage.com. Here's some of the sound on the Savage Nation. Just the titles alone are very descriptive. I gave a great speech yesterday on aborting the Tea Party. I said there's a third party called the American People Party, but it's not yet fully formed. It is emerging. It's in its infancy. It's an embryo, and it's called a Tea Party. But the powers that be, the Dems and the Repubs, who believe in abortion, who will abort life in a womb, who will abort life in the womb of politics as well, they are trying to abort this baby called the American Party. It is very much alive, but they're going to try to abort this embryo right up until the 12th month of the election. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal was fuming as Obama's government halted the cleanup. We're playing that as well. Pelosi had nothing positive to say about cleaning up the spill. All she did was criticize Joe Barton's comments because he took the side of the company. The drilling moratorium is already crushing businesses and the spirits of Gulf workers. An assisted suicide billboard has emerged in San Francisco called the Final Exit Network. My suggestion is right on, all power to the liberals. They should all follow their billboards and walk off the cliff together. It's been a long week. Let's hear some more rock and roll. It's funny how many times I've been interviewed, and you know I've had the big ones. I've had the New Yorker, Playboy, Wall Street Journal. They all ask me the same question. You know, Savage, how much of what you do do you really believe in, and how much of it is for entertainment? And I look at them with astonishment and say, you mean just because you don't have any beliefs, you assume I don't? They don't even know how to answer that question because they don't know what the word beliefs means. They don't even understand that some people actually believe what they say. I say what you hear on my radio show is one-tenth of what I actually believe. I said the iceberg beneath me is nine-tenths bigger and nine-tenths more, let us put it to you this way, more American, to put it the nice way, you know. So there it is. Unbelievable. It's upside down. The evil in this land is overwhelming. Whichever way you look, liberalism is a mental disorder and an evil one. So, now that I've said it all, good night and good luck. I'm leaving.
It was meant to be that way, though I don't know why. Hear what people say, rock and roll is here to stay. Rock and roll will always be.
Savage.